good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning.
Excellent. Always great to be back in Vestal. If I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, my name is Josh, and it's spring, and it's spring training. So when you think of me, think of like when the coach comes to the mound, and he's like, give me the relief guy. Give me the guy to give the star a break. So I'm kind of that relief guy that just kind of comes in, and I sub, and I bounce around to all the campuses. But it's always great to be back here at Vestal, because before Pastor Aaron, I was here kind of helping out, and we were at one campus, one service, and then Pastor Aaron comes in and it explodes to two. So thank you for making me feel valued. I appreciate that. Anyone ever used a paper map? So I don't want us to feel old, but I used a paper map too, so I'm right there with you. And I'm not talking about like the when we used to print out MapQuest and go on like a pirate treasure hunt, like take 13 paces and then turn right. No, I'm talking like the old school, like you unfold it and it was like 10 by 10 in the front seat of the car. So when I was a kid, we used to go on trips and I would get in the front seat. And my dad, who was like a computer engineer, he was able to fold that back together. So that just kind of tells you who he was. So he would put us in the front seat, and it was like a privilege to sit in that front seat and unfold that map. And then he would always tell us like it was a way to help him. But I felt like it was like an intellectual test that he was putting us, like, can they fold it back? Will they succeed in life? But it was really more just a stopgap because we were like fighting. But we would sit in that front seat, and he would ultimately, he would teach us some navigation skills. And what's one of the most important thing about navigating is knowing where you're headed, right? Because you can't get there unless you don't know where there is. And so we would start off with step one, get on the interstate, right? And then there would be step two and three and subsequent steps, ultimately leading to the destination. But just like any navigation, if you don't take the right steps in the right order, what happens? Well, you don't arrive where you want to arrive when you want to get there. If you take a right when you should go left, or if you go east when you should go west, you're never going to arrive unless you have a massive course correction in your life. Because that's what is important, is knowing where we want to go. And today we're continuing our series called Forgiven. And I was trying to figure out how to say it with that question mark at the end, but it's like, forgiven? But I'm just going to call it Forgiven. So we're continuing on in our series all about forgiveness. What it is, why it matters, and ultimately how it sets us free. At some point, and this is spoiler alert for your life, at some point in your life, someone is going to offend you. Someone is going to say something stupid to you. Someone is going to do something to you undeservedly. And you're going to be faced with a choice. You're going to be faced with a choice of, do I want healing? Do I want peace? Or do I want to hold on to it? Here's what I mean. After we've been wronged, many people, you might think, you know, Josh, if I could just get to a place of peace, if I could just get to a place of like restitution, then I would forgive them. But what's the problem with that? Well, that destination, the destination is peace, but we don't start with the destination, right? We've got to take those steps to get to the destination. We think that if we just get peace, then we will forgive. No, no. Forgiveness is that first step towards peace. Because if you want that peace, if you want that harmony, if you want that life that allows you to continue to move on in relationships, you have to start with forgiveness. And this is one of those sermons Pastor Aaron must have been like, hey, let's give it to Josh. This one is, it's really hard to do, guys. This whole series. I'm not going to stand up here and be like, just do it, it's easy. No, this is really hard. Sometimes they're easy to say and hard to do. This one is kind of hard to even say because I also feel like, honestly, I feel like a little bit of a hypocrite because forgiveness is hard. So don't hear me up here saying that it's just easy, just do it. But I think that God gives us kind of a roadmap or guidelines of how we can do it. So if you have your Bible, turn to Colossians chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible and you want one, there's a stack of them out there. Just steal one. If it makes you feel better that you're stealing it, steal it. Otherwise, just take it. It's yours. It's our gift to you. And here's a fun trick I learned when I was a youth pastor. I used to get a nice Bible, and I never put my name in it. Because I always just leave it around, and if somebody wants to take it, awesome. It's going to be sitting over here if somebody takes it after the first service. Awesome. I'm totally down with it. So feel free to steal my Bible, too. Colossians chapter 3. We looked at these verses last week, and it's kind of our series, our group of verses for the next couple weeks. But we're looking at this verse that Paul wrote this letter. And I know it's in our Bible, and it kind of looks like it's just like clumped in there. This would have been received as like a letter to really a group of churchgoers, people who believed in Jesus so often, or comparably, would be like a letter to us. If I was delivering this letter, it would be in that regards. Now, hearing that letter in those days, there would probably be people who maybe they were just happened to show up on that Sunday when they were hearing the message. Maybe some of you this morning, you're here and you're like, I'm just kind of kicking the tires. I'm not a churchgoer. Church is not my thing, but somebody offered me coffee, so I'm coming. And that's great. So if you're here this morning and you are a regular, this is for you. If you're here this morning and you're not a regular, normally I would say, just sit back, relax. No, this is for you too. This is for everybody. This is for anybody who wants to live at peace with other people. So this is what Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And then in verse 3, he says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Ooh. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Verse 14, above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And then in verse 15, he says, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. We talked last week, and if you weren't here last week and you're just jumping right in, that's perfect time. But you can go back online to bridgewater.church and listen to the previous message where we talked about forgiveness being a decision to cancel a debt. Now, I, by trade, I am a banker, so I give out loans. I guarantee you, I am not going to cancel your debt. I would lose my job. It would be bad. But we are called to do just that. That offense, we're called to cancel that debt. God says, this is a command. This is not like, hey, this is a good idea if you think about it. No, this is a command to do. Forgive others. God, in his love, in his goodness, he commands us to forgive because he actually knows what's best for us, right? I mean, in case you haven't figured that part out in your life, God knows what's best for you. And so he's saying, if you want to be at peace, then you have to forgive. In verse 12, he says, we're to be people who are full of tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I think all of us, or maybe most of us, want more of that in our lives, right? Right, right? Who doesn't want more patience? If you've got little kids, you're like, dear Lord, give me patience so I don't kill them. More kindness. Who doesn't want more kindness in our lives? More mercy for those people who have wronged us. No one, I think it's safe to say, no one wants to be more miserable. Even the miserable people don't want to be more miserable. No one wants to be more miserable. We all want this kind of life. And Paul says, if you want that kind of life, then you have to forgive. We're not going to be people of mercy if we don't forgive. We're not going to be people of patience, demanding that people pay back those wrongs that they did. We're not going to be people of kindness if we fail to forgive, because we're going to be consumed with bitterness. We all want these things, and forgiveness is the roadmap. Forgiveness is the method to get to that destination. In verse 14, Paul says, we are to be people who are filled with love. And that love leads to harmony or unity. I think all of us want more harmony or unity in our relationships. In our relationships, we want that unity, don't we? So often, families and friendships and marriages, they're ruined by strife or turmoil or fighting. And we wonder, why can't we all just get along, right? Why can't we have harmony? It's actually a pretty simple answer. Because we don't forgive. We can't have harmony. We can't have unity. We can't have peace because we don't forgive. Why can't we be full of love? Because we haven't learned how to forgive those who have wronged us. In verse 15, Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. I mean, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but who doesn't want more peace in their lives? No one would raise their hand, right? Because we all want peace, but how do we get there? Peace in our relationships comes from forgiving others when they've wronged us. Peace will never be the result of trying to get even. That will never be the result. Peace will never be the result of demanding repayment. When we do those things, the byproduct of those things is more conflict and more strife and more animosity and more hatred and less unity and less harmony. Peace comes from forgiveness. Harmony comes from forgiveness. Kindness comes from forgiveness. Gentleness and patience, all of these things come when we forgive others. Now, if I asked you, how many of you want forgiveness? I think if we're honest, most of us would say it depends. You say, Josh, what do you mean? It depends. If I asked you who wants forgiveness, I think those of us who have messed up, those of us who have said that stupid thing to your wife, you know that thing, you all know, guys, you know that thing that you said to your wife, those of us who have said that thing or done that action, we want forgiveness. Bring me peace, please. But the recipients of said stupidity, it depends. Do they want forgiveness? See, when we're the offender, we definitely want forgiveness. Forgive me, Aaron. But it depends on the other side. So do we want forgiveness? So if you want the product of forgiveness, you must submit to the process of forgiveness. I'm going to say that again. If you want the product of forgiveness, you must submit to the process. And this is where it really starts to get hard. All right, it's really going to get hard from here. Because forgiveness isn't just a command from God, it's a gift from God. When we follow his example to forgive, we have a better life, right? Those of us in here today who have received the forgiveness of God, you understand that. You know what you did. You know the type of person you are and were. And yet God in his love and mercy, what did he do? He forgave us and made us whole, made us right, made us to live in unity with him. It's a gift. Forgiveness is a gift from God. Forgiveness is not easy. Just because it leads to a better life doesn't make the process fun. Letting go of that pain, that thing that they did to you, that pain that they caused you, letting go of that may be one of the most difficult decisions in your life. When I was a freshman in college, my girlfriend at the time and I, who's now my wife, and two of our friends, we were driving back to college. We had a curfew, so I know for some of you that you don't know what that word means. You have to arrive by a certain time or there are consequences. So that's a curfew. So I was a mile and a half from campus. I had 15 minutes to make said drive, leaving in the morning to go home. So I was like, I'm not leaving with a ticket, so I'm going the speed limit, 35 miles an hour. And I looked down at my clock, 10 and 2, looked up, and all I saw was headlights. I was driving a Honda Civic, and it turned out to be a Toyota 4Runner going about 100 miles an hour, hit me head on. Spun me around. I went back, and I had 6 feet of braking. That's the extent of how much time I had to react. So spun around, ended up side by side with the 4Runner. My wife ended up breaking all of the ribs on one side, puncturing her lung. The girl behind me had to be airlifted out with a snapped femur. Just chaos. I ended up with, to this day, I actually have a permanently fracture in my sternum. Because even though I was wearing a seatbelt, I hit the steering wheel. That's how fast I was going. Fractured my sternum. Bruised my heart, which is like a concussion for your heart. And I remember, kind of side by side with the passenger, and I looked over and I got this waft of alcohol. And the passenger had to be airlifted out. And then his name is Kenneth Lapine. With a broken pelvis and a broken leg, he ran from the scene. Ended up assaulting a police officer. Ended up being captured and caught and arrested. And here I was, you know, a 19-year-old kid with chaos all around me. And I remember, you know, after a couple days in the hospital and my now wife a couple days in the hospital, she came home and stayed at my house with my parents while her family flew in from Pennsylvania down to Florida, which is where I was at. And I remember saying this phrase, I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy. And over the next few months with legal issues, I had to buy cars with cash, buying these junk cars and insurance issues. And I was just getting more and more and more upset. And I actually went to court and I remember saying this is not a do this. This is a don't do this. I remember yelling at this man as he was leaving the courtroom. Again, a 19, 20-year-old kid. I was mad. He took something from me. And it wasn't until years later that God showed me what was happening in my heart. Because of that incident, I didn't even know that guy. If he was sitting here today, I wouldn't know. But I hated him. Certainly hadn't forgiven him. And it was through a lengthy period of time and talking through this with counselors and advisors, I realized that I was hanging on to bitterness. And I had to work through forgiving this man. And understand that forgiveness is one of the hardest things that you will do, but it also is one of the best things that you can ever do. Jesus was talking to a crowd of people in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew 6, and Matthew 7. We know it as the Sermon on the Mount. And this is what he says to the general population. In verse 7, he says, God blesses those who are merciful, for they have been shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. Forgiveness is difficult. But I got to tell you, as somebody who lived through the other option, not forgiving, it's so much better, because that bitterness, I got to tell you, I felt justified. I felt right in my heart when I was yelling at that man, when I wanted ill things for him. I felt justified. But in the long run, all it was doing was hurting me and affecting me. Have you ever seen a happy person who is also bitter? You probably have never seen a joyful person who's bitter. Why? Because bitterness steals your joy. I was an angry kid. I was an angry young man. Those first few years of my marriage, I was an angry guy. Forgiveness sets you free from that cycle of repeated hurt caused by holding on to what they did. When you refuse to forgive, you're essentially choosing to be hurt over and over and over again. You're choosing to hold on to that pain that thing caused you. When you refuse to forgive, you're saying, I want to be hurt. I want that pain. And all it does is, every time you think about it, oh, it hurts again. Ah, that guy. When you replay that moment of stupidity, that moment of, I can't believe what they said to me, and every time you think about it, you pull up your phone and you're like, look, they still haven't read that text message. I can't believe them. No bubbles. Still hasn't been read. You repeat and replay that, and you get hurt over and over again. And you allow that cycle to continue. Forgiveness can set you free from that cycle of hurt. It's super difficult to let go of that pain. Again, I'm not saying it's easy. It's very hard to let go of that pain, but trust me, it is so much better than holding on to that hurt. You don't know what they did. You're right. I don't. I'm not going to pretend to know how that decision when your kid left the house affected you. I'm not going to pretend to know how that statement your mom made to you hurt you and affected you. I'm not going to pretend to know that. But I do know that when you refuse to forgive them, you're saying, I'm okay with being hurt over and over again. Even when you say, okay, Josh, I'm tracking. I want to forgive. But what happens when I think about them again? I'm going to forgive them, but I don't really see them anymore. Like, I have that one boss, you know that boss? And he lives in another state now, so as long as I don't see him, I'm good. But then Facebook, that stupid algorithm pops up, and you're like, oh, be friends with this guy. And I'm like, no, I hate that. Oh, I hate that guy. Right? But I want to forgive him. So what do I do? Well, I'm going to give you four easy to say, hard to do, promises that you can make with yourself. Maybe if you and your spouse or you and your friend were hurt by the same thing, you can share these promises with each other, but more likely, they're promises for you. And I'm going to fly through them, and then we're going to go back to them real quick, okay? So the first is this. These are promises that I want to forgive you. And so here's how I'm going to continue to forgive you. Because remember, forgiveness is not just like, I forgave him and it's easy and it's done. So the first is this. Promise I make is, I won't bring it up to you. That thing. You know, that thing. The second is this. I won't bring it up to others. I won't talk about it to others. The third is this. I won't dwell on it. The fourth is, I won't let it stand between us or hinder our relationship. So you might say these are some of the road markers as we head towards our destination of peace. These are promises. These are commitments that are going to help us achieve that forgiveness. So what do these four promises look like? The first one is, I won't bring it up to you. No passive-aggressive jab. Oh, remember that time when? When you said that thing? Oh, good times, good times. No sarcastic comment about that moment. If I'm working towards forgiveness, I'm making a promise to myself that I won't bring it up to you. The second, I won't bring it up to others. I think most Christians fall in this one, if I'm just being honest, all right? This is hard for most Christians. It's that generic sharing. Let me tell you about in my small group, the hot mess chicks or whatever. That was awesome, by the way. Awesome. There was this guy. Let's just call him A.A. Ron. And let me tell you what A.A. Ron did to me. No generic sharing. I'm not going to bring this thing up to others because clearly if I do that, I haven't forgiven him. Or, you guys know this one. Can you all pray for my husband? Last night at the dinner table, he said this. He needs your prayer. If I'm going to forgive you, I'm not bringing it up to others. Does he need prayer? Absolutely. But if I'm going to forgive you, I'm not going to bring it up to others. The third says, I won't dwell on it. For some, this is hard. For me, this is a little less hard. But when I think about this one, I have this picture in my mind, and I'm going to pull it up here. Go ahead and put that. Yeah, there you go. So when you think about forgiveness, are you a chicken or are you a duck? Here's what I mean. Actually, a lot of the pastors are really confused because we all can see the slides, and a lot of the pastors are really confused about why is there a chicken and a duck? So that thing offends you. You know, that moment that you got hurt. Are you like the chicken? That water hits that chicken, and what happens when it rains? The other day, I have 9 chickens, and the other day I went out and I picked up one of my chickens, and it was soaking wet. And it was wet to the bone. That offense gets down inside of you. It gets under your skin and you just, oh, you're marinating on it. Right? There's no part about you that is not affected by that hurt. And you just dwell on it. And it becomes a part of your DNA. Where really we look at the duck. The same offense. And what happens to that duck? If you go pick up a duck that's in the rain, you know what? It's not really wet. It's not really affected by that same offense. So when you're making this promise to forgive, you're saying, I will not dwell on it. I will not let it constantly be a part of me. I don't want to be like this chicken. And the last promise that says, I won't let this stand between us or hinder our relationship. I think this is probably the hardest promise. I know that I need to be at peace with you. And Aaron, I'm gonna promise that I'm not gonna let it stand in my way, and it's not gonna be easy, but I'm making that promise that I am going to work towards that. It's that constant working. When we decide to forgive someone, please understand, I know it doesn't magically erase the pain. I forgive you. That doesn't mean the hurt isn't still felt. I still have, 25 years later, a permanent fracture in my body because of this man. Doesn't take the pain away. And so every time that moment comes back, I still, even as I'm sitting here right now, I'm like, oh, that guy, I have to forgive him. I continually have to forgive him over and over. When we do that, we turn the cycle of repeated hurt into a cycle of repeated peace. Instead of reliving the pain each time, we realize the joy that can come through God because of forgiveness. And over time, we submit to God. We submit to the forgiveness that He asks us. And I'm not going to tell you the pain's going to go away, but I am going to tell you the peace is going to come. Because God promises that it will. Because forgiveness is the pathway to peace. You want to get to peace? You want that destination of peace? Forgiveness is how we get there. So I want to lead us into time, and this I'm going to kind of leave it up to you. We're going to lead in a time of like guided prayer, and I'm not like a touchy-feely guy, so don't worry, it's not going to get weird. But if you want to close your eyes, you can. If you want to keep them open, you can. If you want to focus on something else, you can. I want you to think about that offense. You know, that one offense that happened to you, maybe it was on the car right here, or maybe it was years ago. Likely, you've probably been thinking about that moment last week and this week, and maybe all the days in between. But I want you to think about that offense, that pain that you're hanging on to. Now, do you want peace? Do you want peace from that? And some of you may say, Josh, I'm not even sure that I want peace. And so I would encourage you, as you talk to God, make your prayer be, God, I want to have peace. I'm not even at the place where I want peace, but I want to. I want to have peace. And if you're there this morning, you say, God, I want to have peace from this. I want to have resolution. I want to have harmony. I want to have unity. Remember that forgiveness is the pathway to peace. So which one of these promises do you need to work on? I'm not going to bring it up to you. I'm not going to bring it up to others. I'm not going to dwell on it, and I won't let it stand between us or hinder our relationship. Because peace, ultimate peace, is only found through forgiveness. God, we thank you for your forgiveness. God, we so didn't deserve it. We don't deserve your forgiveness, and yet you model that for us. You tell us how we can have forgiveness. How we can have that peace is because you forgave. God, this morning, I would 100% realize that there are people here who need to experience forgiveness. God, maybe there's some here this morning who need to go to someone even during this next song and say, I need you to forgive me. Maybe there's someone in here this morning who says, I need to forgive that person. God, and maybe there's someone here this morning who says, I need you, God, to forgive me. Forgive me for that sin. Forgive me for my sins. I want peace that you offer. God, this morning we kind of got punched in the gut a little bit. And so I ask that you would comfort us, that you would show us that through you we can find peace and joy and happiness. And we thank you and praise you for who you are. In your Son, Jesus' name, amen.